Okay, so let's go ahead and get rolling here. So we ended on talking about nationwide permits and individual permits that are issued through the Corps of Engineers if you're going to do some type of filling within a wetland. And again, these nationwide permits are, at least the two that relate to wildlife management, fisheries management, are 27 and 30, and are dealing with actually benefiting them in some type of capacity through management or restoration. And again, for the public, they are submitting what are called individual permits, and they have to go through this relatively rigorous review, of which you do not have to for a general permit. Okay? All right. Any questions? So, some detrimental decisions, basically, either at the Supreme Court level or otherwise, that have ultimately been detrimental to protecting wetlands. Okay. In the 80s, wetlands were being dredged. The Clean Water Act specifically indicates that wetlands are protected that are associated with navigable waters that are filled. You cannot fill, so it prevents the filling of wetlands. Well, in the 80s, a guy that was in charge of, I guess it would be a colonel or whatever, in charge of the Corps of Engineers, his name was Tulloch, said, actually, it's not just, he created a rule as chief of that agency. And he said, listen, if you actually dredge, it is filling as well. And, I mean, the law states filling, period. The Act states filling. And so, but what he said was that if you actually dredge and you dig out, the amount, the material that falls back into that dredge channel is called fill. And so he created this rule that said, and it was specifically, that is called incidental fallback. So you can imagine like a backhoe dredging out a wetland to maybe create a channel so that you drain that wetland. That as even if you are taking that soil with you, the stuff that falls back into the wetland, that is called fill, and hence dredging activities can be covered underneath of the Clean Water Act because they are filling wetlands. Okay. That actually stood for about 15 years, and there was no dredging allowed in wetlands. In fact, it just became synonymous that the Clean Water Act was interpreted as protecting wetlands from dredging and filling, but it didn't. It was always about filling. And again, this goes back to navigable waters and filling in things and preventing this interstate commerce. Well, in 1999, the Tulloch Rule, which this talks about, was overturned. And with a court case, I think it was a state, it didn't go all the way to the Supreme Court, I don't believe. But it said, no, this is an incorrect interpretation of the law. This is not protected. This rule is not justified based on the Clean Water Act. That when it was made, it was not about incidental fallback. It was about going and depositing stuff into wetlands. Now, you still cannot dredge, all right? What this says is you can ditch a wetland. All right? Y'all need to be clear that you can ditch a wetland, and it is not protected under federal law, as long as you take the fill with you. Okay? If you pile it up within the wetland, then it can be called filling a wetland. But if you have a truck right next to it, and you're a dump truck, and you're putting it in there, and yes, you do have some that incidentally falls back, then it is completely fine. That is not illegal. It's not breaking any federal law. So you can dredge a wetland as long as you take your fill with you. All right? So if you go in and you dredge that wetland and all of a sudden no longer has a higher purity of soils and it doesn't become a wetland, then you can develop. You can do whatever you want. So this is definitely detrimental. It is not normal circumstances, right? But you can do it because it's not protected under federal law. The law specifically says fill. Okay, that was the first hit to wetland protection. It was the overturn of the Tulloch Rule. All right. Now, the second was called the Swank decision. And that is in this other handout here that has Ducks Unlimited. Oops. The Ducks Unlimited one, it says Executive Summary 404, the Swank decision. You actually have two Ducks Unlimited handouts, the last two, but it's this one here with, you know, their logo here. And it says Swank right on the top. Swank stands for, this was a U.S. Supreme Court decision in 2001, and Swank is an acronym, stands for Solid Waste Agencies of Northern Cook County, and it refers to that case against the Corps of Engineers. And what happened is that this municipality organization, Swank, was up around Chicago, and there was a huge area that was excavated. It was a gravel pit. Okay, it was excavated to take soil out, and that was done in the 80s, etc. And the Swank group, they took it over. This municipality took it over and wanted to use it as a landfill. Okay, to put garbage and stuff in. And so when they started filling it in, okay, but when they were filling it in, over about 10 years of time since the actual gravel, this huge gravel pit was made, actually water collected and wetland characteristics became present. So the Corps of Engineers shut them down and said, no, you are filling in a wetland, you are breaking the law. And they took that all the way to the Supreme Court. And what they took to the Supreme Court was this. Not that they're filling in wetlands, but that specifically that the Clean Water Act protects wetlands associated with navigable waters. This was done in Illinois, away any navigable water, an isolated situation, okay? And they had a gravel pit. Prior to Swank, isolated wetlands were protected underneath of what was called the Migratory Bird Rule, okay? The Migratory Bird Rule was in the 80s, about the time the Tulloch Rule was, and the Migratory Bird Rule said, you know what, because remember, specifically the Clean Water Act says navigable waters. Well, for any wetland that is isolated, that may be on the plateau, that isn't associated with a navigable water, or the prairie pothole region or those Playa Lakes I mentioned, these depressional wetlands, there aren't any barges going by or anything like that, okay? So the way that they were covered underneath a federal law was that this rule, the Migratory Bird Rule, was created, and it said that the whole idea of protecting wetlands associated with navigable waters is to ensure interstate commerce. Well, migratory birds, and especially huntable ones, waterfowl, use isolated wetlands. And because they can fly from state to state to state through migration, and those represent a commodity to the entire United States and to Canada, that we need to protect these, because if we fill in these wetlands, we can reduce interstate commerce. Okay? Because of the commerce itself is moving through these states. So isolated wetlands are protected underneath of the Clean Water Act. Supreme Court came back and said, no, that is an incorrect interpretation of the law. This rule that was created is unlawful, and it is not protected underneath of the Clean Water Act. That was not in the intention of the conceivers of the Clean Water Act. It was intended to be associated with wetlands associated with navigable waters, whether it is a lake or whether it is a river system, and specifically those that facilitate interstate commerce. Nothing else. So, the Swank decision, and this really stinks, because I would tend to actually have agreed with the Swank group. You know what? Those wetlands were created based off of, first of all, an anthropogenic land change, which is creating a gravel pit, and y'all want to fill it in. And the court really, when you see changes in the law, it's always extreme cases. So what that did is because it overturned the bird rule, even natural isolated wetlands are no longer protected from filling. Okay? You can fill an isolated wetland. It is not protected under federal law. You can dredge a wetland because of the Tulloch rule. All right? So, that was in 2003. So, just from the start of this century, we have gone from basically protecting wetlands in this country. And really, again, it was 1977 when the Section 404 was added. It, again, took about 10 years to really come up with that delineation manual and for enforcement to be implemented. So from 87 to 99 to 2003, things were relatively protected in our country. These two decisions have completely opened up opportunities for our developers to fill in isolated wetlands, which are the majority of our wetlands, are isolated wetlands. They're not associated with a navigable water, and to dredge any wetland that they want. Okay? Now, this last decision here was just in this past summer. Another Supreme Court decision. And for more than three decades, wetlands adjacent to navigable waters could only be dredged or filled if you got a permit. Now this is actually contesting wetlands associated with navigable waters. Okay? Now, right now, the Clean Water Act did put in, it is in there, and it says that wetlands associated with navigable waters. But this decision is coming out of, again, it's an extreme case where we aren't dealing really with navigable waters. You're up in the tributaries a ways. So even in Tennessee, our wetlands that are associated with drainages that ultimately go to the Tennessee River are protected. But you don't see any barges up, you know, on the escarpment of the plateau at our headwaters or up in the Appalachians. So that was the type of case. It wasn't done, this wasn't in Tennessee, but it was a similar case. Because the case was, well, if you do something with those wetlands up there, it could ultimately have a cascading effect down the watershed all the way to a navigable water and could result in filling of that. Possibly. That is certainly possibly. That could happen. But it's those extreme cases where somebody wanted to develop and they had the money and they said, no, you couldn't. And now what's probably, right now, this was basically a split decision. It came out 5-4 in favor of supporting wetlands associated. Now, in favor, it was 4-4 split, and one of the justices said, well, I'm going to favor, basically in favor of the wetlands, and say we should keep it. However, they have turned it back and relied on the decision of the lower courts. They said that it needs to go back to the lower courts and for it to be reviewed and for the final decision to be made. In other words, in order for federal legislation to be changed, ultimately it'll get back to the Supreme Court. It'll have to. So this is actually looking at taking away basically only protecting wetlands directly associated with a navigable water. Now, if we do that, we are literally talking about very few wetlands in our country being protected under federal law. So I wouldn't be surprised if this becomes the next decision within another year or so that takes away wetland protection. Okay. Is there a put? Yeah, there is, but it all depends on the administration. Our current administration has no interest, okay? And several of those justices have been appointed by this current administration. So we do not have, with the current administration, the current justices, we really don't have a whole lot of luck with respect to decisions at the Supreme Court level. With respect to legislation, I think there's some movement for federal legislation that specifically comes out and talks about wetlands. But the counter response to it, generally from the legislatures and even the Supreme Court, has been, you know what, do we want to go this far? Do we want federal law protecting wetlands? Why not just have the states protect wetlands? And so that's really, even back with the Tulloch rule and the Swank decision, that is, the Supreme Court came back and they made that decision and said, listen, you know what, y'all should be making your own laws anyways. We really shouldn't be telling the states what to do. Now, since then, actually in the 90s, there were some states that had state laws protecting wetlands. Today, about half of our states have wetland protection laws. Tennessee does have wetland protection laws, and we'll talk about those in a second. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You can. For the society standpoint, working through organizations that have pretty strong political influences, such as Ducks Unlimited is a great one. And they have been really a part of making a lot of this information public knowledge and working with those guys. Of course, Ducks Unlimited National Headquarters is in Memphis. So That's the first thing. Now, with respect to should our federal government be concerned about wetlands? Well, we're going to talk about wetlands, guys. And their wildlife habitat is not the only value. There are a lot of values. The federal government. Honestly, but part of the thing too is I really don't know. I don't get involved in the politics and legislation of it, but I'll tell you, the core of it, no pun intended, is the core. Again, because of the history of the Clean Water Act, they have been in charge of wetlands. What we really need is new federal law that protects wetlands, that basically, like Fish and Wildlife Services in charge, or EPA or something like that, one of those branches. It doesn't say that the destruction of the Migratory Bird Treaty Act doesn't say that the destruction of their habitats is illegal. But that's where the Migratory Bird Rule came out of, is the concept of the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, which is a great conservation act to bring agencies and three different countries together to basically conserve wildlife habitat for migratory birds. We tend to kind of pride ourselves and think that we're moving forward with respect to becoming more environmentally conscientious, and we are in many capacities with conservation programs, etc. But with respect to wetlands, we've just gotten kicked in the groin three times, pretty much. And we really do need federal law to step up. And so I don't envision it with this administration, but maybe with the next administration. Okay, any other questions? So how are wetlands protected from dredging? Well, we do have state law that protects them in Tennessee. The very interesting thing about our state laws is they're really stretching the law, quite frankly. There are laws that are in states that specifically protect wetlands. I mean, just straight out protect wetlands. Our wetlands are protected on the basis of water quality. Okay, TDEC is in charge of wetland regulation in our state. In fact, when you want to do some type of wetland, you may be doing work in wetlands, you generally fill out a permit first to TDEC. TDEC will look at it and then make a determination whether or not you need a federal permit as well. So we'll talk about that permit. It's called an ARAP permit. So in Tennessee, wetlands are protected from dredging and filling, I guess, by water quality laws. Okay, the way that they do this is they claim, the state government, TDEC says, okay, dredging or filling can cause water pollution. Okay? It can cause water pollution, and hence it is not permitted. All right? Isolated wetlands
Okay, so this is the dredging thing. This is the Tulloch rule thing. Now, what about swank and isolated wetlands? Okay, over half of our wetlands in, well, actually in the country, this is a country figure, are depressional isolated wetlands. In Tennessee, isolated means not having connection to neighboring properties by surface or groundwater. If you're, okay, it is still considered an isolated wetland if it is within your property. Not only through the surface, but through the groundwater. Now try to prove that your wetland is not connected through groundwater to somebody else's property. Okay? So, it defines isolation in this capacity. And so basically, unless you can prove that it's isolated, which is very difficult to do, that it is isolated, which is difficult to do, you are going to be protected. Well, the wetland will be regulated based on water quality. Now, what does that mean? Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that was just mentioning state wetlands. As far as state wetland laws, I already mentioned this, only about half of our states have wetland laws. Okay. Our legislative act was actually passed back when at the same year of the Clean Water Act, when Section 404 was added. And it's called the Tennessee Water Control Act. And it says, it recognizes that, you don't need to know all this stuff, but what the act does is it recognizes that the waters of Tennessee are the property of the state and are held in public trust. It states that people have the right to have access to unpolluted water. It defines what waters of the state mean. It defines what pollution means, and it says, basically, if you are polluting waters of the state, you need to have a permit. Okay. So, TDEC is entrusted with the enforcement and the regulation of wetlands within our state. And fines can be substantial, up to if it is discovered that you have basically filled in a wetland or you have dredged a wetland until you reverse it to action, it can be up to $10,000 per day. Okay, so what does this mean? Waters of the state and pollution. You see how basically everything is protected in Tennessee under this interpretation, the way it's being enforced currently. Waters mean, again, it means any waters, any and all waters, public or private, on or beneath the surface of the ground, except for those waters, those bodies of waters confined and retained within the limits of a single private landowner, which do not combine or affect a junction or natural surface or underground waters. So, again, it comes down to they're technically waters of the state if they, the wetland containing the water, if it actually, you have a drainage that goes onto another property, or even if you have an isolated wetland, like a depressional type wetland, but the groundwater itself is connected. And so based on that, they pretty much say that everything in this state that classifies as a wetland under federal law, okay, I mean, still those definitions are in place for wetlands, okay. But if you pollute these waters, then they are protected. Now, so this is the definition of water. Pollution means such alterations of properties of the water that will result in harm to public health, safety, or welfare. Okay, well that sounds pretty serious, right? Okay, public health, safety, or welfare, or will result in harm or potential harm or detriment to the health of animals, birds, fish, or aquatic life. Okay. So, In other words, pollution, the way that is defined by this act, states that anything you do that may harm, I mean just potentially harm, aquatic life, is called pollution. So it doesn't take a whole lot, really, to say that you do something to a watershed, that you are polluting that watershed. Even if it doesn't cause direct human impacts, if it impacts any wildlife, that is pollution. And if you are polluting and that water goes off of your property, then you need to have a permit to do that activity. So based on that, and this is really anything. This could be chemicals that you may deposit on your land, or it could be dredging or of a wetland, where you could be altering the water quality. All right? Good. Any questions? You would have to, if you were going to do something on your property, you would have to prove that it does not leave your property. Okay?
So how does municipality get around having those large leaches?
Well, they have permits for those. Yeah, they have to have permits as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so this is, it's called an ARAP permit, Aquatic Resources Alteration Permit. And you can actually connect right here to this website to download the permit. You fill it out, you send it in to TDEC, and then they will look at it and determine whether or not you need a federal permit as well, which in most cases, it probably won't be. Unless you're really dealing with a navigable water. There's still, you know, you talk to folks at the state level, you talk to wetland consultants, and they're all look around and they say, and especially when it comes to navigable waters and wetlands associated with them, because of all the changes in the legislation, a lot of times they're like, well, we really don't know if this is gonna stand up or it isn't gonna stand up in court. But as of right now, wetlands associated with navigable waters are protected by federal law. Okay, so you fill this application out and then you will, then you could get a permit to do that. And again, any type of destruction of wetlands will result in you to requirement to mitigate for those damages. Any questions? All right, that is that.